we are born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
There can be only one podcast. And may it be the princes of the universe. Hi, folks. I'm Matt. And Bruce isn't here. In fact, I have no idea where he is. He didn't show up to record the podcast. So, more bad news. I wasn't able to... Well, I actually did interview the last of the Billboard donors. And unfortunately, I corrupted the file when I was transferring it to edit. And that is very, very discouraging. First off, my deepest apologies go into the two donors who were on that episode. We will do it again next time. And next time, my dumb self will be better at whatever I did wrong. I still don't know what I did wrong. And it's a shame because, folks, it was a really good episode. I was super excited about it. I thought it was really awesome. There's hardly any edits to do with it. Yeah, our guest hosts were just wonderful. Again, deepest apologies. I'm sorry to all the fans who wanted to hear them. I hope you've been enjoying all this as I have. I really have enjoyed having all these guest stars, especially people who love the EU so, so very much that they put together this Billboard that I think is wonderful. But I wanted to do the podcast with or without Bruce, I guess. And tell you about my experiences at Pensacon. Yes, I teased people in the last week's video about me talking to Troy Denny and what was going to happen, and I'm still going to talk about that. But by the way, folks, this is going to be a very short podcast. One, this was supposed to be an add-on to the whatever. As you know, the regular Billboard donors get about 40 minutes, 40 to 45 minutes of just great stuff, by the way. And then Bruce and I basically pad the last 10 minutes with discussion. This was going to be the last 10 minutes. Now, I'll try to elaborate as much as I can since I'm doing this solo. But I do have a lot to talk about. First off, from my experience on Pensacon, check out the upcoming Saturday morning Samoflange where the Misses, that's right, the Misses, guest stars on it. It's a lot of fun. We talk about Pensacon, what we loved, what we didn't, and other things, like another con that you may see us at, hopefully near you soon. Let's talk about the things I didn't talk about on Saturday morning Santa Flange was the Star Wars people I spoke with. And I want to first talk about Dave Dorman. Now, folks, a lot of you who listen to the podcast, you know who this is. Dave Dorman is an artist. He drew several epic covers, including book covers and comic book covers for Star Wars. His art is everywhere, and his art is amazing. Honestly, I dare someone to tell me who makes better covers than Dave Dorman, because I just don't see who that could be. I've met this guy before. It was actually last year at last year's Pensacon. Folks, if you ever get the chance to meet Dave Dorman, he is a fantastic guy. Easygoing, laid back, super friendly, happy to talk about whatever you want. Remember, he didn't really draw the comic books. He just did the covers. But he has a love and a passion for comic books. Now, one of my favorite questions I ask him every year is, what's he reading? Because he's never reading any of the big titles. He told me, of course, and I went over this in last year's podcast on Pensacon. He doesn't get into the big Marvel, DC, superhero genre thing. The closest he gets, he says, is the Hellboy, Abe Sapien, BPRG, those kind of books. He's a big fan of, as I am myself. Hopefully soon in future podcasts, Bruce and I want to talk about comic books, which would be a lot of fun. But he's into the detective noir. He said he looks for unique art, not just good art, but something unique, something he hasn't seen. He loves styles, and he loves especially just really good different styles, you know, different ways of drawing people. And people have a certain touch. And he talked about how a lot of books today basically all look the same. Artists do not have an identity. And it was an interesting perception because I can see what he's talking about. Back in the day, and I'm talking like old Image and Wildstorm and whatnot, you could tell who was writing what book. I mean, I could at least. I could look at look at the inside of a book and tell you who drew that. Artists were defined by how their art was. And these days, you have a lot of, well, he's a lot like this guy. He's a lot like this guy. Well, what's he draw like? A lot like so-and-so. Yeah, but where's his own unique style? And are they all trying to do the same style? And that's the question you got to ask. Well, he asked, because he's just really big into style and art. And, of course, he likes stories. He says he's kind of tired of the superhero genre. And he reads tons of other stuff that I'd never even heard of before, and had to make a list. Unfortunately, I don't have that list with me. But it is always wonderful if you get the chance. I don't know what other cons he goes to. In fact, like I said, I don't look at every con looking for Dave Dorman, but I do look around at other cons to visit, and I don't see him. So he's up in Chicago. He may be up in one there, but he is also in Pensacon. And folks, he is well worth going to. He's selling a ton of stuff. He didn't have the postcards like he did last year, which I really enjoyed. Those postcards were great. I think they were 4 for $20, a great deal. He would autograph each one of them. Just awesome stuff. This time he had the big portraits, which aren't bad. I mean, I know one of the other listeners here, Brian, he got a few. And Brian, I don't really know which ones you got. So I would love to know. I wanted to be nosy and look at him, and I meant to ask you that, and I never did. but he has a ton of great art, folks. You may say, well, I don't think I want to pay $30-$45 for art or whatnot. I'll just talk to him. After talking to him, you'll definitely want to pay money for art because you've got to have this guy's autograph. Now, don't worry. You don't have to pay $30-$45 to get him to autograph something. I mean, he'll autograph anything for free. In fact, I got my edition. Of course, last year I had him sign my Dark Empire trade. And this year I had him sign my Crimson Empire trade. And when he always signs it, he always draws a little something within the package. And it is really cool. Last year he drew me a Death Star, I believe. A Star Destroyer. And this year, since I had him sign Crimson Empire, he put in, of course, a Imperial Guard. And I just love that. I love the special touch. By the way, folks, the missus actually read Crimson Empire. She was bored waiting in line, said, what do you got in here to read? And, of course, went for the only comic book. But I think I may have her on something. She was interested in the comic book, so I may start her. The missus has been trying, for folks who don't know. She has been trying to get into the EU. She knows it means a lot to me. She hears everyone talking about it. And honestly, when she hears y'all talk about it, she's like, wow, what is this? Everyone loves it. But she doesn't read that much. She's not a big book reader. And I know some of you have said, yeah, me neither, man. I just read the comic books. Or I started off just reading comics and got better as a reader. So maybe, since she read that comic book and enjoyed it, maybe she just needs comic books right now. And I'm going to be putting her on a little comic book reading list and see how she does. And if she responds well to it, maybe she'll want to enter into the books. That may be an avenue that I haven't considered yet, but definitely will. One thing that Dave Dorman is not embarrassed to bring up is his old days with Dark Empire. He still sings Cam Kennedy's praises. And he says there has never been another artist with that style. And I have to agree. Cam Kennedy's style on Dark Empire. Can't wait to review this story, by the way. But first things first, his art, though, is really phenomenal. It's really unique. You know what Cam Kennedy art looks like. And that's kind of what Dave Dorman really appreciated about it. Of course, he talks about Tom Veitch. And of course, he talks about Lightsider. Folks, Lightsider is the graphic novel that never got written. It was written as a novel with big portraits. And Dave Dorman supposedly was hired to paint the pictures for it. This wasn't going to be a Cam Kennedy feature. Cam Kennedy was working on other things for Dark Horse at the time. And he was slated to do Dark Empire 2, of course, which he did. But Tom Veitch was reaching out to Dave Dorman to do some art for him. It's going to be kind of like the William Sidious, where it had some words and had some painting art in it. Tom Veitch really loved the idea, and he wanted to do that for Lightsider. Now, he actually completed and finished the book, and that's where Cam Salusar met Luke. Remember, in Dark Empire 2, we don't even know where he came from. And so I was like, did I miss something? Where did this guy come from? What's going on? And that's because there was supposed to be a book, but it didn't get made. And Tom Veitch said on it, it's gone forever. But you can see a little bit about it online. You can read a little bit about it on Wikipedia. There's people out there that know a lot about it. In fact, I believe one of the stories in the Sequart books on the books of the expanded universe, or maybe in the comic version, I think someone is going to talk about Lightsider and what they know about it. So that should be definitely interesting, if that is a topic. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I seem to remember that idea being mulled around by one of the authors. But anyway, so that's Dave Dorman. Okay, so let's move on to Kevin J. Anderson. Folks, as you know, Kevin J. Anderson, my favorite author. I always go see him. I thankfully still have books for him to sign. Pretty soon I'm going to have him sign magazines of short stories because I'm running out of things for him to sign, but I want his autograph on everything. I love him. I think he's a brilliant author. I really can't wait to review some of his books. Surprise, surprise, this guy remembered me. Yes, he now knows who I am, not because he watches my YouTube channel. No, he just remembers me from coming to see him from past cons. So that's nice that I'm now a familiar face. I'd love to attend. He has some writing sessions. I think it's called Writing Superstars in his hometown in Colorado that he does every year. I would love to attend one of those. But at the same time, is it worth the travel? Is it worth the money? You know, I mean, it's worth hanging out with them and talking with them, but I just don't know if it would be worth it. That's not my, there's other things I want to do with my vacation days. That's not one of them, though. Spending time with Kevin J. Anderson up in Colorado would be sweet. Now, if you ever go and see Kevin J. Anderson, I highly recommend you do. His book table is full of just about every book he's ever made, even a lot of his old Star Wars books, some with the Legends banner on it and some without. Kevin J. Anderson was always good about saving the books or ordering books, copies that he had written before so he could sell them at his shows. He didn't do that a lot back in the early days. That's why some of the older books have the Legends banner, because he just didn't think about doing it. In fact, he has a complete collection of Young Jedi Knights, the original run that had the glossy chrome-looking covers. Folks, if you don't know, those are kind of hard to get. Kevin J. Anderson said he and his wife, Rebecca, went on a mission to find every single old book of that series, because they never got those when they came out by the publisher. They just forgot to order any. And so sitting behind him on a desk was the entire collection, first edition, all signed by him and Rebecca, and he only wanted $600. Kevin, I love you, but that is way too much. No one should pay $600 for that. Folks, you can get reprints of it. It's a great series. Again, another book I cannot wait to review. A great series, but not worth autograph, first edition, $600. No. $300 would be a little too much, too. I don't even know if I'd go $300 on it. Now, no telling what he paid tracking it all down. No telling what you would pay tracking those all down. I don't think it would be over $250. So if he autographed them all and sold them for $250, that may be a fair price, especially with the autograph. I guess he's thinking he and Rebecca's autographs are worth another $50. Well, obviously they're worth another $350 if you sell them for $600. But honestly, when you have something like that and you're looking at a big price tag, it's obviously something he doesn't want to let go of yet, because he's still kind of happy about it. And I think it was, since he did mention that was one of his lifelong quests, to collect the entire Young Jedi Knights first edition. I don't think he wants to let it go. For $600, he's going to keep it for a long time, I'll tell you that. But what I talked to Kevin J. Anderson about was his two upcoming novels. They both have a release date of the same day, September 13th. And I hate that, because how am I going to read both books at the same time? The first one is a Saga of Shadows trilogy, Eternity's Mind. Folks, this is from his Saga of the Seven Sons. It's kind of like the sequel or follow-up from that series. Saga of the Seven Sons, if folks don't know, was actually, it began off as a Star Wars story. He pitched to Bantam Books right before they sold Del Rey. And he envisioned, Cloud City, Bespin, and all of a sudden, out from these clouds come these warships, and they just totally destroy Cloud City. I mean, totally obliterate. I mean, yeah, Lobot was going to bite the dust. I don't know if Lobot was going to be there, but he totally had plans to obliterate Cloud City and then send the Republic over there, see what was going on, and then have the warships rise back out, fight the Republic, and then go on a war with them. What it was going to be was, the story was going to be like, hey, there's people that live in that big gaseous area that, you know, Cloud City hovers around, and they've been mining the Tiberia gas for, you know, hundreds of centuries. Well, that alien race is now fed up with them, and so they come out with all guns blazing. They've got this big armada that the Republic has to deal with. You know, it's a big, of course, it ends up being a misunderstanding, but there's a lot of bloodshed, a lot of action going on. It sounded really awesome, and he pitched it, and Bantam was interested. But then they lost the rights, and it went to Del Rey, and suddenly that just went in the can. Now, Kevin G. Anderson said for like, you know, a day and a half, he was bummed out about it. But then he thought, wait a minute, why does this have to be a Star Wars story? I can just change the characters, change some of the races, and make it my own. And that's what he did. Now, I'll be honest, Saga of the Seven Sons isn't my favorite Kevin J. Anderson series. Of course, I love his Star Wars books, but it's not even up there for my second favorite, which is his Doom books, which I'll talk about again in a minute. And I don't think it's my third favorite because I've read a lot of it. I read some of his old X-Files stuff, and I loved it. So I think he writes just genres better, you know, these TV to book stuff, or, you know, I think he wrote some Superman, Batman books. I think I would just enjoy those better. Now, not to say it's bad. It's not bad. It's an enjoyable read. I'm keeping the books. You know, I'm not selling them anytime soon. Heck, I'm buying the sequel because I want to hear what happens next. So they're not bad. They're just not as good as his other works, in my opinion. But anyway, when Eternity's Mind comes out, of course, folks, I save things for when they all come out and finish as a trilogy. So when it comes out, I am definitely going to get that book. Because that's the Saga of the Shadows is what I'm going to read first. Secondly, because I'm saving the best for last, Navigators of Dune also comes out. Now, I asked him, why are you releasing both books on the same day? He said, I don't know. That's not me. That's the publisher. And we made a few jokes about left and right. But then he said, hey, you know what? They're going to buy it. If they can't buy them both, they'll buy one week and buy one the next. So he's really not too worried about it. I told him I was just complaining because I wanted to come out earlier. I don't care which one came out earlier. That way I could start on one of the trilogies. But I'll start on Saga of the Shadows trilogy first, finish that, and read Navigators of Dune. Folks, Navigators of Dune is the third part in his latest trilogy with Brian Herbert, Frank Herbert's son. And I haven't read them because I don't read them until they're all done. But I have been waiting, honestly, for over 6 years, I think, for this series to end. Maybe even longer than that. It may have been 7. But I bought Sisterhood of Dune ages ago and just sat there and waited because I knew there was going to be a school trilogy. Well, the next one finally came, Mentats of Dune. Bought it the day it came out. And now I'm sitting on here waiting for Navigators. I had to wait 2 years. And finally, Navigators of Dune, it will be coming out this year. And like I said, it's just talking about the schools. Sisterhood talks about the Bene Gesserit. Of course, Mentats, you already know what they are. And Navigators, of course, you know what they are as well. It seems so interesting and so cool. I don't know exactly what timeline. Well, I think I do know what timeline takes place. But there's only one book that I have not been happy with in the Dune series. That was Winds of Dune. I thought it was weak. I said this on an early podcast. I did not enjoy it as much. It's okay, but it's not as good as the rest of the stuff. Even the short stories, Tales of Dune, the ebook, was great, in my opinion. But Navigators of Dune comes out. I'm going to read the entire trilogy. I can't wait. I know it's going to be good. I love, love, love the Dune books. I hope they don't give up doing them. I don't know if Kevin J. Anderson is too busy or just tired of working with Brian or they're just running out of ideas for Dune, but they have come out with some home runs in that series, and I really hope they keep making them. All right, folks, it's time for the big one, right? The one you've probably been waiting for. You're like, come on, Matt, get to the point. All right, So, yes, I got to meet Troy Denning for the first time ever. And, folks, it was a dream come true. Would I ever go see him again? Heck, yes. I don't know what I would get him to sign because I brought a huge backpack full of every stinking book he ever wrote for Star Wars and had him sign each and every one with the biggest smile on my face. He was so polite, so kind, so patient to sign every single stinking one. If you ever, ever, ever get a chance to see this guy, drive the distance. He is totally 100% worth it. Trust me. It's kind of funny because he kind of suffers from a little ADD, kind of like I do. I get distracted easily and then I forget what I'm talking about. He got distracted all the time talking to me on the floor with other people coming up real quick and saying hello or, you know, just getting him to autograph one book while we were talking because we might have talked for about 10, 15 minutes. I was kind of hogging up my time with him, but I was so giddy. Wait till you hear how the missus tells the story of how I was with him. And I got to admit, I was just elated to talk to him. I mean, of course, one of my favorite authors, just like Kevin J. Anderson, I really look up to him. I really loved his books. They were just power hitters, every single one. And it was so cool to finally talk to him. We talked about a lot. First off, some of the stuff I talked about, I asked him, you know, during New Jedi Order, they had to work together to put together one cohesive story. And I said, did you ever have any problems? And he kind of shook his head and kind of chuckled to himself. He said there was one person that just drove him nuts. And no, it wasn't Aaron Alston or whoever else you may think of, James Luceno. It was Matthew Stover. He said Matthew changes his mind every other day on what he's going to do on his books. And Troy's like, Matthew, pick something and go with it. You know, because they would, you know, each book in the New Jedi Order series would compliment the next. But he said Matthew Stover just kept changing things and changing ideas. Like, Matthew, pick something, stay with it. But Troy said he was fun, but he just was like all over the place. So good memories with Matthew Stover. That seems to be a guy that he loved. It was a love-hate relationship working with him. For the other stuff that he's wrote, first off, I asked him, when did you sit down with Christy Golden, Karen Travis, Aaron Alston? When did the three of y'all sit down and write out Legacy, write out Fate of the Jedi? You know, when did you all do that? And he said they would do that at separate times. Sometimes at Lucasfilm on Skywalker Ranch, they'd go out, they'd all meet out there and game plan. He did say he saw George at the cafeteria once, eating at the cafeteria. He never spoke to him. But he did see him while he was there, and that George would come down. Well, he said he wasn't sure what all came down from George, because Lucasfilm in general would come down and say, George wants this, or hey, he wants this, or they want this. And he said sometimes it was some of the big wigs, sometimes it was George, but it wasn't really clear on who was saying what, you know, just certain things, little things that had been changed in their writing. Was George really, George was looking over the outlines, but I don't know if he was reading the novels. Troy Denning said probably not because he was just so busy, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, you know, a lot of the other guys, the earlier guys said, yeah, he read them. He read mine. He sent me a letter and told me how great it was and thanked me. So, I mean, it looks like once he got busy on that, remastered trilogy back in 97, he just got too busy to read. And I can understand that. The dude was busy on everything, had his hands in a lot of cookie jars. But anyway, he said they would sit there or they would do it at Comic Cons. When they all met up together, they'd sit in a back room. He said it was so much fun planning out that kind of stuff with them. And it was really awesome to hear how they kind of just went with stuff. Okay, what do we want to do? Okay, let's get an outline. Then they build off it. Then say, what can happen next? Okay, what can happen next? What's something cool we could do here and everything? I had mentioned about, you know, Christy Golden's Hutt side storyline. I said, was that something bigger? You know, because my conspiracy theory is that they've had something planned with the Hutts for decades, and it's now just building up, because I really could see a pattern. And I told him about it. He thought that was interesting. I told him my pattern that I think I've said on the YouTube channel before. He thought it was very interesting. But he said that was just Christy's idea. He has no idea what she was going to do with it, but she really wanted to do it. And, you know, would it have tied into something else later on? He doesn't know. That was Christie's deal, is what he said. Going back, we talked about Star by Star. Obviously, I think he asked which one was my favorite. And I told him it had to be Star by Star. He's like, oh, you know, he's not very popular for Star by Star. He knows that. And I kind of feel bad for him because, you know, he just mentioned it. He didn't complain. He didn't say anything. He said, yeah, fans were not happy with me over that one, you know, kind of chuckling. Because, you know, of course, fans didn't like it. Spoiler alert, folks. I don't even know why you listen to this podcast. You don't know about New Joe Order. But Anakin died. He killed off Anakin. He said he hated killing off Anakin. They all did. Because, as you know, Jason was the one set to die. And that makes sense. Jason's original storyline in New Joe Order was, you know, a kid who doesn't want to use the Force. He finally grabs his cojones and balance point. And then finally finds his place in the Force. Remember, he's helping out with the mind meld and everything and leading a Jedi Strike Force team. But he was going to sacrifice himself for everyone else and die. So it's like that was his storyline in it. It was going to be really beautiful. And Anakin was going to go on. Yes, he was going to go on with Tahiri. That's why they built up their relationship in New Jedi Order. And it was kind of jarring because when they wrote Star by Star, that's when the order came down. From on high, nope, kill Jason. You know, George doesn't want two Anakins existing in the same universe. Again, why would George say that if it wasn't canon? So, again, there's another proof that it is canon. So they had built up this whole relationship with Tahiri, which was going to go somewhere. You know, it was going to form into a relationship like everyone knew it was. But when that happened, they had to totally redo their story. And it was kind of a little bit of a scramble, you know, in a way like, okay, we got to bend this way. But everyone was really cool about bending the way that they had originally planned out, coming up with different ideas, hence the Tahiri sudden turn storyline. But it's funny because a lot of people have mentioned that the kill didn't make sense. They don't understand. A lot of people hated Anakin dying. I don't think if Jason would have died, many people would have cared. Because to be honest, Jason wasn't really well liked within the EU as much as Jaina and Anakin were. He didn't get as much love from all the Solo siblings, which I guess could have made the decision easier to kill him. And in fact, Tom Vassell of Dice Tower, he's on YouTube, big board game reviewer, big fan of him. He actually answered one of my Q&A questions on one of his live Q&As. I asked him if he read the Star Wars novels. He answered yes. And he read all of them. And he really enjoyed a lot of them. Some he didn't enjoy. He said he stopped at a book where a character died. I think he did mention Star by Star. I can't remember. But he stopped when a character died. He said it didn't make sense because they were building up this story with him. And then they just killed him off. And that didn't make sense. And I wanted to respond back, no, wait, you don't know the whole story. Wait, I'm a Star Wars guy. I know the answer to this. But it sucks because he wasn't the only one who felt that way. A lot of people, I remember some people saying they threw the book across the room. They were so upset about the New Jedi Order and Anakin dying. And I thought it was just brilliant. I loved it either way, you know. I was kind of shocked that Anakin died because I didn't see that coming. But I just thought that was part of the, you know, I didn't know what the deal was either. I just thought, wow, they killed him. Whoa, that was kind of harsh. You give him this love story and you kill him off? Yikes. But the thing was, that wasn't the original plan. And now that I know that, but some people just got furious with him. And I wonder, I didn't ask, I didn't go into that because I had too many other questions to talk about. But I want to know how much hate did he receive from fans? Because I know Salvatore received a lot of hate and Vector Prime. But anyway, he also told me that in Legacy of the Force, he was not supposed to write the last book. They switched up the order. And he ended up writing the last book where Jason was going to die. And he said, guys, you can't do this to me. You know, he said, I can't be the guy who kills off both Solo boys. And, you know, I mean, like, he was like, oh, no. And sure enough, as the rumor is true, he did call the editor and say, hey, I got an idea. What if Jason force flows through here and escapes somehow and into the past or something? And we don't really kill him. We just remove him from the story for a while because he didn't want to kill Jason. And the editor went, no, kill him. And so his death was imminent. and Troy had to abide, and he's like the hitman of Star Wars, and people don't like him because of that. I don't know of many people who don't like him. I know a lot of people did not like that series, and that's why people say, I like everything from the Banta era and not New Jedi Order, nothing from Del Rey, because New Jedi Order hurt their feelings. But that is a discussion for a whole nother day. One of the things he did share with me was that Legacy comic books, when Dark Horse came out with Legacy comic books, they didn't even know that that was going to be a storyline. And when they saw it, they went, oh. Because they did have their own idea of how things worked out, like generations in. And they said, oh, well, now we know who the grandson of Ben will be, you know. You know, it's like, okay. And so they had an endpoint. He said it was kind of weird. They were having to rework it. They didn't have, you know, as many ideas, but they did have to rework it about what they wanted to. They had to change their plan going forward. Now, of course, Legacy came out, you know, years before they were doing Legacy, I think. I think they were still in the New Jedi Order when it came out. Or they may have been in Legacy. Who knows? It may come out around the same time. I'll have to check on that. But regardless, it did alter their plan for the future. I asked him about dealing with Leland Chi. And he said Leland Chi is a great guy, but very, very quiet. Very quiet guy. So that was interesting. I know on my YouTube channel, someone said that he actually put on his Facebook page that he will not discuss what the plan was going forward after Crucible. However, he did share stuff with me. Now, I don't know. I actually walked away with my wife, and my wife's like, so are you supposed to share that information that he just told you? I said, I don't know. He didn't say it was confidential, folks. I told him the truth. I told him I was working with Rich Hanley on a book about the, you know, expanded universe, and that my particular article happened to be about his book, and if he would help me with some questions I had going forward. He knew who Rich Hanley was. He seemed to trust me at this point, and so he shared with me the plan that they had, and I'm going to give you a little bit of what I feel comfortable and safe talking about. And I think it will satisfy you, because I didn't get much more than this, but I'll share with what I got. Christy Golden, Sword of the Jedi was only supposed to be one novel. It was not a trilogy like even I thought. He said it was just one novel. That's all she was going to do. And while we're getting this mixed up, folks, he was supposed to write a trilogy after Christy Golden. That was what was going to happen. She was going to write Sword of the Jedi, and then he was going to write a three-part story arc. And I'm just going to give you one line and leave it at that. And Zadi attack the Chiss. Just think about that. Let that settle in for a minute. I don't even know how. I don't know why. But that sounds friggin' awesome. He shared a few details. But remember, they were serious when Crucible was the last of the big three. They were seriously going to put them on the shelf. Troy Denning said there were no plans to bring back Luke, Leia, and Han in stories for at least a couple of years. You were not going to see them in storylines. They were going to follow Janna and Jagged Fail. And that seems to be what the storylines were going to be, was about them. I don't think you were going to get any Ben Skywalker. He didn't say anything about that. Closure on the Lost Tribe of the Sith and who Avaloth was eventually going to come back into play. Possibly another 9-book series after his trilogy. I'm assuming at the time, I did not ask this question, but I'm assuming it was going to be Christy Golden and Aaron Alston, who, of course, had probably recently died. I don't know. They would have found a third person, maybe Stackpole or something, to help write. I didn't ask him because that was too far in advance. They didn't have who was writing what at that point. But they knew that was going to be, you know, that was probably going to be the next 9-part story arc dealing with that. But they were going to take a break from the main story. And still, the main characters were going bon voyage. They were rarely going to make appearances. Or if they were, it was going to be just, you know, side characters, because the new generation was set to take off. So anyway, lots of exciting stuff. I'll be honest, after talking to Troy Denning, it was like I've reached the final frontier. Folks, as you know, I have read all the expanded universe. There is nothing out there that I, so far that I know of, that I have not read, unless it's unpublished stuff, which is stuff that no one's read. So at least knowing what was beyond the horizon was just really calming. I left the Pensacon just so elated, so happy, glowing over my discussion with Troy Denning. Amazing guy. I don't know if he'll share that with much. I hope I didn't give too much away. I hope he doesn't get ticked at me. I don't think he would have. I think I spared a lot of details there, but you get where it was going. And it just seemed amazing. Now, of course, folks, don't go up to these people and say, can you just at least write it? They won't. I asked him. I said, you know, if you ever want to write this as a fanfic or put my name on, he said he'd love to write the ending, or love to write the stories he had written in his head. But he said he couldn't because, A, that wouldn't look good. It would not look good for an author to write a fan fiction novel about Star Wars, especially when you want to work with these people again. And remember, it's not just Star Wars, it's Del Rey. You're insulting kind of a publisher there when you do stuff like that, which is why no one is going to come out and say anything bad against Del Rey. You know how Timothy Zahn really feels in that video about them rebooting Star Wars, because back then he could get away with saying that. Now he can't, so he's like, oh no, it's fine, they can do whatever they want. Kevin J. Anderson says the same thing. Every author says, oh, they can do whatever they want. But we know what the truth was beforehand. And we know, folks, it's a business. It's a professional business. You do not go up to your boss and say, you suck, you know, or, you know, you don't go around work telling everyone what's wrong with them. You just don't do that. And authors know better. They have a little bit more decorum. Well, most do anyway. The newer ones, Wendig, don't really know what to do. They don't have any sense, common sense at all. But, again, Troy Denning, fantastic guy. Got to see him sometime. All right, folks, that is all the time I have. I hope you enjoyed this solo podcast. Hope it was worth your time. Hey, folks, look out. I am bringing back the two Billboard guests next time on the podcast. And who knows what else I have in store for you. Folks, we'll see you next time on Princes of the Universe. So after Jaina's death in Sword of the Jedi, Troy Denning was going to do a trilogy. Oh, wait, I can't say that. Gotcha.